all-consuming spurt. I sank deep, growling as euphoria shot from me and into this girl who'd given me my life back. Elle let go too, her body quaking under mine, her pussy fisting me from root to tip as I filled her. I chased the climax for as long as I could, shattering into tremors as the waves slowly grew weaker. I ceased holding my weight off Elle, slamming on top of her in a full-body embrace. Her body was so hot, radiating like an inferno. Her pussy still rippled around me, sending delayed ricochets of bliss down my cock and into my legs. Damn, that felt good. She giggled, kissing my cheek.
I agree.
She went to move away, but I grabbed her wrists, pinning them above her head. Uh-uh, you're not leaving.
I'm not.
Her cute button nose wrinkled. Nope.
Why?
Her gaze flickered to the bathroom.
A shower together would be nice. Oh, we could take a bath. Spend hours relaxing.
Images of sliding my hands over Elle's nakedness definitely sounded like a great plan, but I couldn't admit I wasn't ready to let her go yet. I wasn't ready to withdraw and no longer feel her wet heat. This wasn't about coming. This was about connection, and hell, I needed it. Her hips rolled in perfect circles, pressing her clit against me.
If you're going to restrain me, I might have to come again.
I raised an eyebrow. Could you?
Not sure. Never gone for three before.
Her smirk was the devil herself.
But I'm open to trying.
I nuzzled her hair, pumping slowly into her, already feeling myself grow hard again. In that case, let's see what you're capable of, and then I'm washing you for hours, feeding you, and then we're taking a walk around Central Park.
We are?
We are.
But why Central Park? That's where you were stolen from me the first time.
Because from now on, you're going to explore every inch of this city with me. I'm going to show you where I slept. I'll reveal my bolt holes, my food stashes, my emergency funds buried in people's gardens. This city has not been kind to me, Al, and the itch to leave is building. Last time Larry freed me, I moved to L.A. to get away. It helped. I kissed her nose as stress etched her eyes.
But you can't leave. My work, it's here.
Tears sparkled. I'm not leaving. That's why I need you to replace bad memories with good. With you, I can learn to love this city again, but only with you by my side. A tear rolled down her cheek.
I'll go to every street corner, every park, every bench. I'll go wherever you want me to, Pen. You'll never be alone again.
Chapter 42. Elle. We did all those things. After a second round when Penn flipped me onto my hands and knees, and a quickie turned into kinky playtime, we soaked in his bath before catching a taxi to Central Park and walking the same path we'd sprinted from the security guards. We followed the chain-link fence of the baseball field, where we'd shared our first kiss, and watched an evening game where men trampled the home diamond where Penn shared his chocolate bar. We kissed in the same bushes where we were arrested and brought cinnamon sugar churros from a street van as we strolled a few blocks of New York. Penn didn't say much. His eyes turned more active, his entire body on high alert. The ruthless businessman I'd given my virginity to faded into the wild creature I'd met in the alley. He sniffed the air as if he could smell a threat. He narrowed his gaze at a group of men coming towards us. He moved as a predator and prey all at once. I took his hand. He froze, then relaxed. His eyes met mine. His lips turned from scowl to smile, and we made our way back to his apartment in harmony. When we got back, I expected to climb into bed and either repeat what we'd done before or sleep. It'd been a long day, and an even longer 5 months. But Penn ordered takeout from a local Thai place, and we snuggled on his couch while watching TV. We laughed and snickered at the jokes on the screen. We licked our fingers free from curry puffs and slurped pad thai. We shared normalcy and made it magic. Like any normal couple. Like a boy and girl in love. It was the best day of my life.
Chapter 43, Pen.
Dear Pen, I love many things in this world. I love my company, my cat, my father, my financial security. But I have to say, I love you more. Watching you sleep this morning, you were soft for the first time. Your forehead wasn't creased. Your eyes weren't narrowed in suspicion waiting for the next catastrophe. You trusted me to keep you safe while you dreamed. My heart is so full because of that, and I hope you can forgive me for not waking you up. Bel-El needs me, and I have to go to work. However, I've left you a present. Call me when you're awake. Sleep all afternoon if you want. You deserve it. Then come find me at the office, and perhaps take me over my desk. I'd like to put that particular fantasy into reality. I love you. See you soon. L.
I flopped onto my back, a ridiculous grin on my face. The gift she'd mentioned was her lingerie. She'd left it neatly folded on the covers, proof that she'd gone to work naked beneath her clothes, thinking of me as I thought about her. I grew hard, picturing her bare and waiting for me. I shouldn't get so caught up over a note on my pillow and her underwear on my bed, but I did. It gave me peace of mind that this wasn't a dream. This was real. The second I woke, I'd had a panic attack, thinking I was back in lockup, and the soreness in my body and slight dehydration from so much sex was all make-believe. Then I'd stretched, and the crinkle of paper brought my mind instantly back to Al. She knew more than I'd wanted to show her. She knew how my temper and sharp need to protect worked against me and filled me with fear. She understood that the world I was from was full of danger and enemies, while happiness and friends padded hers. It would take a while for me to relax and not search for disasters, but with her in my life, I had no doubt I could find one thing I'd never been able to afford, no matter how much I stole or earned on the stock market. Love. Unable to fall back asleep with her on my mind and lust in my heart, I showered, dressed, and headed into the kitchen to enjoy some caffeine before heading uptown to Bel-El. While the coffee brewed, I collected my laptop from the locked drawer in the sideboard, and for the first time in 5 months, opened the internet. Not having regular visitors or phone calls in jail was hard. Not having access to daily news, stock prices, and portfolio updates was torture. Logging into my charity, I noticed the off-site staff I'd hired had been busy with a local food bank, lunch day, and a temporary tent city where the council had let us do a trial for homeless people. I had no doubt Larry would have kept it running. I had so much to repay him for. Perhaps, before I head to El's, I'd take him to lunch and show him in a woefully understated way how much I valued his friendship and support. Opening the local news, I grabbed a cup of freshly brewed coffee and prepared to spend the next 15 minutes perusing the disarray the world had once again fallen into. Only, my coffee cup slammed onto the table, spilling brown, steaming liquid everywhere. My heart stopped. My fingers scrabbled at the screen to jerk the technology closer. After the happiness of last night, this couldn't be happening. Noel Charleston shacked up with a homeless criminal? In terms of New York royalty, none come as close as the Charleston family, the owners and creators of Bel-El department stores. Not only have their clothes, toys, and household appliances graced our homes for decades, the Charlestons have regularly been noted for their impeccable social standing and unblemished record at avoiding scandal. When Noel's mother died, the country rallied in support, and records showed florists in the New York area all had at least 3 deliveries a day to the Charleston family in condolences. However, recent events have made the public doubt the Charlestons are as pure as they led us to believe. Protesters were photographed yesterday outside their flagship store, boycotting their clothing line. Speaking to one protester, they said they wouldn't dress in apparel provided by a company involved with criminals. It brings up questions as to their own moral code and what they have been involved in over the years while painting the perfect family to the New York people. Penn Everett is the man hiding in Bell-El's shadow. Recently released from prison on an incorrect accusation, it's been said that his previous arrests are in discussion by local lawyer Larry Barnes, pointing fingers at our very own chief of police, Arnold Twigg. Chief Twigg states Penn is one of the most violent offenders out there, and it's a disaster to see the justice system fail the American people. In a personal interview earlier today, Chief Twigg also said he feared for his son, Sean, now that Everett was free. According to him, Everett has always been jealous of Sean Twigg, and there's history to show Everett places the blame for his crimes onto the innocent young man. Neither Joseph Charleston nor Noel were prepared to make a statement. My elbows planted on the table, either side of the damning article. Fuck. My legs jittered on the chair leg, my heart filling with snow. I'd known this would happen. I'd heard rumors in prison and had updates from Larry that Bell-El was regularly mentioned alongside my name. But to see it in black and white? To have a prominent newspaper tear El's family legacy apart all because of me? Shit, it dug a dagger into my heart and twisted until I couldn't breathe. I loved her. I would do anything for her. But they were right. This was all my fault. I'd gone after Elle because of my hate. I'd dragged her into my chaos because of my love. I'd ruined her business because of my selfishness. The longer I was with her, the worse the lynch mob would become. It didn't matter what I wanted or how much I cared for her. Elle had sacrificed far too much for me. I couldn't let her sacrifice any more. I loved her too much to let all she'd worked for be stolen. Slamming the laptop closed, I grabbed my keys and left.
Chapter 44. Elle,
can you come in here, please?
Dad's voice came from his office. I'd arrived early, before most staff, to finally get stuck into my mountain of work that I hadn't mentally been able to cope with over the past 5 months. I'd kept the company ticking along, mainly thanks to Dad taking on more responsibility and Fleur's help. But it was time I took the reins again now Penn was free. I had finally settled my debt with him. I was unbelievably happy, and the rest of life would work itself out like it was supposed to. Striding into my father's office, I smiled. He wore a simple black suit with a gray waistcoat and maroon shirt. He sat behind his desk where he'd given me sage all those years ago. He read a newspaper with a grimace.
Can you explain this?
Explain what? He tossed the article toward me, spinning it upside down so I could read it clearly. The blaring headline said, Bell-El may have a new CEO and he comes with a criminal record. I warred with the need to burn the stupid thing and assure my father not to upset his heart. You know what reporters are like. They'll say anything to sell copies. Dad scrubbed his face.
How much of it is true, though?
None of it.
Most of it, you mean?
He sighed.
Greg retracted his statement. He wouldn't have done that if you hadn't have meddled.
My shoulders straightened. I didn't do anything illegal, Dad.
I'm not so sure about that. And now you're dating someone who has done illegal things.
Standing primly, I refrained my temper from lashing back. Penn is a good person. Or are you forgetting your approval when he first arrived?
A criminal record changes things, Elle.
He slouched.
I want you to be happy, but I don't want Bell-El to be dragged into this sort of scandal.
The company can handle it. Why does the public opinion have so much sway over my personal relationships? Dad stood, patrolling around his office, bypassing awards for best retail experience, best merchandise, and best charity donations to organizations who supported fair wages. We followed the law and did our part for the world in all things business. Bell-El ran my life. I wouldn't let it rule my love life, too.
Because the public is our business, Elle. If you continue to drag the company's goodwill through the muck of prison and criminals, then I fear what sort of future you'll leave your heir.
My what?
Your children. Come on, be smart about this. I'm only trying to protect you, Elle.
I let him pace around me, holding my cool. Barely. I'm not ending it with him. I'm in love with him.
You barely know him.
You were happy for me to marry him after 4 days. Now that I've been with him for 5 months, you say it's too soon?
5 months while he's been in jail.
It doesn't matter. Not everyone is perfect. Those who make mistakes but learn from them are better than those who have made none. He makes me happy. That's all you need to worry yourself with. I didn't wait for his reply. With my hands balled, I left his office and stalked into mine. I loved my father, but I was done taking orders. Penn is mine, and he's going to stay that way.
Visitor L?
Fleur knocked gently on my office door after lunch. I hadn't stopped to eat. In fact, I hadn't stopped since I'd sat down and fully looked at the financial statements and future dated campaigns. Fleur had done a great job, but a few areas had slipped through our fastidious control. If it's my father again, tell him I'll come over tonight, and we can discuss it like adults. But nothing will change, so we might as well get used to it. Fleur took a few steps over the threshold. It's not your father. Her mouth tipped up into the biggest smile. It's your fiancé. Instantly, I leapt from my chair and crossed the large space. Sage meowed from her basket, wondering if I was leaving or not. Before I could assure her I wasn't going anywhere, Penn appeared, dressed in low-slung dark jeans and a black untucked shirt. He looked carefree and reckless and just as delicious. The itch of having him last night wasn't sated, and my mouth watered to taste him again, to finish what he'd started last time he was here and be wicked together with orgasm-related fun. Hi. My cheeks pinked, picturing him inside me. How sexy he was. How lucky I was. Only, he didn't wrap an arm around me and whisper hello in his raspy, lustful voice. He didn't smile. In fact, he took a step back, holding up his hand.
Elle, don't.
Iceberg slithered down my spine. Don't what? What is it? Fleur left, leaving us alone. What the hell could have changed since I left him a few hours ago until now? His eyes tightened with pain. Pain matched inside me the longer he stared.
I have something to give you.
I rubbed my arms, my hands squeaking over the fabric of my wardrobe. The silver sundress with black panels over the chest that Fleur had picked out was a nod to the night we'd gone to his charity gala. My own way of telling him whatever happened that night was over, because the lies were gone and we were together. Give me what? A rap sounded on my door. Before I could snap for whoever it was to leave us alone, Dad popped his head in. His gaze instantly latched onto Penn.
Ah, I thought I saw you.
Moving into the room, he closed the door ominously behind him. Goosebumps erupted full of fear. I had no idea what was going on, but it hurt like hell already. Dad held out his hand, trying to hide his thoughts, unsuccessfully, about the ridiculous news articles and slight inconvenience Penn's background was causing. Penn swallowed back his own emotions, shaking Dad's hand.
Mr. Charleston?
Dad smiled.
Congratulations on being acquitted. I'm so glad.
His voice lowered with sincerity.
I know I wasn't exactly supportive while you were locked up, but I want you to know I never stopped being grateful to you for saving Al.
His soft gray eyes met mine.
She means everything to me. I get a little protective when anything tries to hurt her, reporters included.
Penn dropped his hand, shoving it into his pocket.
I understand.
Unlike last night when I got on my knees and sucked him, he wasn't doing it to hold himself back. He stood protective of himself, a safety thing, to keep himself rigid and firm to do whatever it was he'd come to do. Don't let him. I had no idea what had changed, but every instinct screamed to stop him before it was too late. Striding to his side, I slinked an arm around his waist and kissed his cheek. "Do you want to grab some lunch? Maybe take a quick walk and get some fresh air?" Penn shivered at my closeness, then stiffened. Never looking at me, he clenched his jaw and sidestepped out of my embrace. He didn't answer my question, sticking to his script, giving me no way to stop him.
"There's something I came to do."
I trembled in terror, wishing I could grab the handles of a clock and shoot us back to last night when everything had been so rosy and bright. Dad frowned.
"What is it you came to do, Mr. Everett?"
My heart sank. It didn't escape my notice or Penn's that Dad had gone from calling him son back to his formal address, just like Penn had called him Mr. Charleston. This is all so wrong. Penn needed to be welcomed, to feel as if he belonged because he did. Just because it would be rough for the next few months in the tabloids didn't mean Dad had to be cruel. "Dad, Penn saved me. He deserves..."
"Don't, Al."
Penn pulled one hand out of his pocket and pinched the bridge of his nose.
"It's best if your father is here to hear this."
His voice stayed calm and focused, but his muscles tensed, his back going overly straight. "Hear what?" I locked my knees from sudden quaking.
"About our fake engagement."
He looked at the carpet, his voice bitter and sharp, and body broken and sad.
"I think it's time to call it off."
He exhaled in a rush, the raw agony in his eyes a bleeding wound.
"What?"
Dad interrupted.
"What do you mean?" "I mean, I think it's best for everyone involved if we go our separate ways."
I stumbled. "You can't be serious." Dad held up his hand.
"What are you saying?"
Penn's face turned black.
"I'm saying I have too much shit in my life to smear your perfection. I have a chief of police about to come after me, a criminal record, and a whole bunch of other issues. I saw how you being associated with me is already affecting your business. I never wanted that. I never wanted to make things worse for Elle, especially knowing how hard she works."
I gulped. "Penn, stop. It's over. You're free. The rumors will fade and life will go back to normal."
"No."
Dad held up his finger.
"He's right. It won't. These sort of things last forever, Elle. Sure, it will fade in favor of other gossip, but the next time Belle L has a lawsuit or some nasty reporter has a grudge, they'll drag this story out all over again. We'll never be free of it."
"Exactly."
Penn nodded curtly.
"You'd never be free of me and the turmoil I'd caused."
Dad puffed his chest even as his confidence faded. His mood switched from corporate to apologetic.
"Look, I'm sorry, Penn. I genuinely like you, and you make my daughter happy. You saved her, and you'll forever have my gratitude. But Elle isn't a normal girl. She comes with a company that has been a part of our family for generations. I can't let her jeopardize that."
Penn stood to his full height, hiding his wince.
"Sometimes love isn't enough. It doesn't conquer everything."
I flinched, holding my broken pieces together. "That's ridiculous. How can you say love isn't enough?" The dirty disbelief in my voice made me snarl. "You want me, Penn. I want you. Don't do something as stupid as..."
"I'm not being stupid, Elle. I'm being smart."
"No, you're being a raging moron." Stomping toward him, I placed my hand over his thumping heart. "Tell me you love me. Tell me what you told me last night. Tell my dad so he can hear what an idiot you are." Penn gritted his teeth, moving away from my touch.
"I'm not an idiot for trying to protect you, Elle. Why can you do so much for me and I can't do the same for you?"
"I didn't hurt you and call it helping."
"You don't think I'm not hurting? That this isn't fucking killing me?"
My cheeks burned with terror that I wouldn't be able to talk him out of this, to stop this lunacy. "Then don't do it. It's a silly newspaper."
"It's in black and white."
He bared his teeth.
"It's damaging. I know how awful the mob mentality can be, Elle. It can fucking ruin everything you love."
"Can you really stand there and talk about love even while breaking my heart?" I wrapped my arms around my waist, hugging hard. I chose you, Pen. You're worth whatever silly stories they made up about us. Admit you love me and stop trying to be a martyr. His lips remained stubbornly locked together. He couldn't tell me that he loved me. He wouldn't. He believed he was doing the right thing. It's not. It's not the right thing.
As much as I agree with you,
Dad said.
Are you sure about this? You seem to care deeply.
Pen tore at his hair.
Of course I care deeply. I love your daughter.
His eyes flared, noticing his admittance. He waved it away as if it wasn't the point, as if it didn't matter, when it was the only thing that mattered. His eyes met mine, but he spoke to my dad.
It's because I love her that I'm doing this. I can't stand by and be the reason for Elle's future to be at stake.
Dad crossed his arms.
That's a noble reason.
His gaze turned calm, assessing Pen in a way he hadn't, seeing him like I saw him, past the angry features and stuck-up confidence, finally noticing the man who protected everyone he cared about by keeping them as far away from him as possible. He was noble. He was stupid. He was so selfless, and he was willing to cut out his heart and walk away as some misguided attempt to save me. Couldn't he see I couldn't care less about reporters or phony tales? Couldn't he understand I didn't want Bell-El anymore if I couldn't have him? Pen might not understand, but Dad did. He shook his head, pinning his gaze on Pen, finally believing in the affection between us, recognizing its truth. Not that it would help me win this fight with this stubborn ass determined on destroying me, all in the name of honor. Screw honor. Pen, we'll fight this together, just like we fought your sentence. His body flinched with grief.
You've already done so much for me, Al. I can't ask for any more.
Pen, perhaps you should sit down. Let's talk about this.
Dad pointed at the couch, his shoulders falling the longer he witnessed the life-splintering argument.
I'm sure we can work this out.
I waved my arms. There, you see? Even Dad, who is adamant about protecting Bell-El from controversy, is willing to discuss.
Just because he doesn't want to see you hurting doesn't mean he agrees that it's the right choice.
Pen shook his head, his eyes black with agony.
I've already caused you more stress than you should ever have to live through. Don't ask me to make you live through more.
I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. I stormed forward, desperate to touch him. You don't have the right to walk away when I want you to stay. Pen, don't punish me for loving you. His jaw locked. He swallowed hard. He looked over my head.
I can't do this anymore.
Anymore? We've been together one night.
And you were alone for 5 months to earn that one night. That's not a life you deserve, El.
He suddenly exploded.
I've already taken far too much from you.
No, you haven't. He snorted.
Haven't I? What about the countless nights I gave you? The constant worry? The deliberating stress? I've cost you so much, and I refuse to take any more.
I paid that willingly. You're free. That's all in the past.
Until the next fuck-up.
Dad cleared his throat.
How about we all take a breather? It might be as simple as keeping your relationship quiet for now, until this all blows over.
Pen laughed coldly.
You know as well as I do that won't happen. This is what has to happen. It's for the best.
No! My temper overflowed, but I battled it down. Look, let's be rational. Did you forget everything we promised last night? All the love we shared? Turning to look at my father, I added, Dad, you practically threw me together with Pen that night at the Weeping Willow. We're finally together. You can see what exists between us. Don't let him be ridiculous. It was a low ball playing my father against Pen, but Dad was on my side now. If Pen needed fatherly approval, he had it. Pen clenched his hands.
Not ridiculous, El. Smart.
He smiled sadly.
I didn't come here to argue with you.
His shoulders bunched as he pulled his other hand from his pocket.
Before I say goodbye, I need to do something.
You don't get to say goodbye, Pen. Not after I waited for you in prison. Not after I fell in love. He planted a hand on my mouth, his eyes guarded and unreadable. But I didn't need to read them. I knew how much he was breaking under his ironclad facade. He howled just as much as I did. Why is he doing this? He swiped away my foundations and made the world shake like an earthquake.
This belongs to you.
He held up his hand, and the necklace that started this catastrophe dangled from his fingers. When I didn't move, he took my hand, turned it upright, and dribbled the chain into my palm. With a harsh breath, he closed my fingers over it.
Stewie and Gio agree you should have it back. I should have given it to you years ago when I came to find you that night.
He kissed me so soft I barely tasted his lips.
I'm so sorry, Elle.
My dad coughed, but I ignored him, fighting my tears. My heart cracked open, dying, gasping. Why are you doing this? Pen touched my cheekbone reverently.
Because for the first time in my life, I need to do the right thing. You helped me so much, Elle. Let me help you by not ruining your future.
I sniffed back a sob, hating the necklace locked in my hand. I don't know what to say.
Say you forgive me.
Forgive you? I cupped his cheek, mirroring his hold on me with a hand not holding the necklace. The only thing to forgive is this. You're hurting me, Pen. I don't care about the newspapers or what the chief of police will do. All I care about is you. Tears rolled unbidden. Don't do this. He bent and brushed his lips once again over mine, looking away a tear at the corner of my mouth.
I'm sorry for dragging you into my mess, Elle. But your father is right. I'll never be free of my past, and you'll forever belong to Bel-El. There is no place for us.
He stepped backward, once again jamming his hands into his pockets.
I'm going away for a little while. Let the scandal blow over.
He shrugged.
Let me go, Elle.
Dad came to my side.
Look, Pen, perhaps I've been too hasty. Stay, let's talk.
Pen shuddered, squeezing his hands before opening them again, full of wavering agony.
I can't.
My tears morphed into a shout. You can. Who put you in charge about what is best for me or what I want? I know what's best, and I want you, Pen.
And you'll always have me.
He backstepped toward the door.
I'll never stop loving you, but we can't be together. I won't hurt you anymore. Goodbye, Elle.
Hiding his pain behind a sharp cough, he opened the door and disappeared. The moment he was gone, I fell to my knees.
Elle!
Dad squatted beside me in horror.
Are you okay?
I let loose, tears becoming sobs when before I'd been so damn happy. Am I okay? No, I'm not okay. Dad rubbed my back like he did when I was a child, and I felt sick or had a nightmare. Before, his comfort would work. This time it only made me miss another man more. He can't do this, Dad. I love him. Sage crawled into my lap, mewing sadly. I dropped the sapphire star onto the carpet and grabbed her, cuddling her close, using her as a tissue to wipe away my sadness. She purred in encouragement, letting me cry. With tear-fogged vision, I noticed Dad picked up the necklace he'd bought me for my 19th birthday. He spun the star in his fingers, his forehead furrowing. Slowly his spine straightened as he looked at the door where Pen had vanished, and back to me in pieces on the floor.
Right, that's it.
Standing stiffly, he bent down and hauled me to my feet.
I've been a stupid old fool.
I sniffled, hugging Sage closer. Patting my cheek, wiping away my tears, he said,
That boy loves you.
My heart squeezed all over again. A fresh wave of tears threatened.
And you love him.
I bit my lip, doing my best to stop the torrent. I do.
I'm an idiot. He's an idiot. We're all stupid idiots.
Pushing me toward the door, he scooped sage from my arms and gave me the sapphire star instead.
Go after him.
I froze. What? He laughed abruptly, rolling his eyes as if it was the most obvious thing after being dumped.
He's only breaking up with you because he thinks it's the right thing to do. I must admit, I played my part in encouraging that, but that was before I saw how much he adores you, how much he put you first and himself second, even though he's obviously going to pieces without you. I liked him before, El, but he just showed a noble, honorable side that is so damn rare.
He kissed my cheek as he opened the door.
Who cares about journalists and stories? We're solid. Our business is thriving. And even if it wasn't, it doesn't matter.
His eyes took on that whimsical glow he got whenever he thought of Mom.
I loved truly, and there wasn't a day that went by that I wished I didn't. Every morning I was thankful. Every evening I was grateful. No amount of money or good publicity can replace true love, Al. And I'm a moron that I've fought for you to find that exact connection, only to do whatever I could to break you apart when you found it.
His face fell.
I hope you can forgive your old fool of a father.
My tears dried. Should I chase after him? What would I say? But I had no choice. Dad was right. I didn't care about Bell-El's reputation. If we believed a few online articles could tear us down, then we didn't belong at the head of the chain. And if we sacrificed our own happiness for material things, then we didn't deserve to find love. And I had found love. I wouldn't let it walk away. I won't let him go. The oath landed by my feet before I noticed I'd spoken. Dad hugged me with Sage scrambling between us.
That's my girl. Now go knock some sense into that boy, like he knocks sense into me. Tell him he's part of this family, whether he likes it or not.
With tear-slicked cheeks and racing heartbeat, I tore from my office. Fleur asked where I was going. Sage meowed. Dad whooped. And I flew on wings to claim Penn once and for all.
Chapter 45. Penn. I couldn't stay in New York. Not after this. The moment I'd gone to Larry's to collect the sapphire star Stewie had been keeping for Geo, he'd known things were about to get sad. He hadn't grilled me, but he had told me to call him when I got to whatever destination I would run to. The reporters wanted to slander Elle and her company. Well, they couldn't fucking use me because I wouldn't be in town. By distancing myself, I was protecting Elle. It hurt like hell, but it was the best thing for everyone. Arnold wouldn't be able to drag her into my chaos. Greg would remain locked up. My connection to the Charlestons would fade, and Elle would remain the perfect princess who so many people relied on for work and income. Throwing a duffel bag onto my bed, I didn't pay much attention as I threw pants, shirts, and underwear into the general vicinity. Everything fucking hurt. My chest, my eyes, my motherfucking heart. I hated myself for hurting Elle. I despised myself for leaving her in tears. But it was for the best. The only way I could think to protect her.
You know, you really should lock your front door.
What the? I spun from shoving socks into the side pockets of the duffel, my mouth falling wide. What the hell are you doing here? Elle leaned against my doorframe, the sapphire necklace dangling from her finger as she cocked her hip.
Getting you back, of course.
My hands curled. I told you, I won't put you through any more stress and ridicule. She merely smiled, her eyes bright and tear-free, her body poised and confident.
I want you to do something for me.
Her attention fell to my half-packed bag.
Before you go... Can you do that?
I narrowed my eyes, searching for a trap, but she remained open and kind. I nodded slowly. Okay.
Great.
Pushing from the doorway, she came toward me with a sexy sway in her hips. My cock instantly reacted against my will. I gulped as she planted herself in front of me.
You did all the talking in my office. Here, it's my turn.
I didn't like it, but I nodded.
Fine.
Good.
She swung the necklace like a pendulum.
First, this no longer belongs to me. It belongs to the hooded hero who saved me. I told him that 3 years ago. I distinctly remember mentioning that if I had remembered to ask for it back, I would have given it to my rescuer in payment for saving me and walking me home.
I couldn't help myself, and I distinctly remember telling you there was no way in hell I'd take it. She smirked.
Yes, I remember that too.
Tossing the necklace into my bag, she muttered.
Too bad. It's yours. I don't want it back. Know what else I don't want back?
I stood frozen, not falling into her trap. The longer she stood in my room, smelling so goddamn delicious and being so brave, the more I wanted to kiss her until I passed out from oxygen deprivation and took back everything I'd said. I was an idiot. Worse than an idiot. I deserved to be lonely after throwing her away, all because I didn't want to hurt her. Eventually, I'd hurt her, either through my direct actions or indirect. It would happen. Could I afford to take that chance? She means too much to me. When I didn't answer, she beamed.
My heart, Pen. I don't want that back either. It's yours. So you might as well carve it from my chest and stuff it into that bag of yours, because you're not leaving without it.
El, I growled. Don't be so...
What? Dramatic? Immature? Literal?
She stabbed my sternum.
Listen here, Mr. Everett, and listen good. I didn't pick you, you didn't pick me. Fate picked us, and there's nothing we can do about it. The reporters can't change it. Life can't break it, and you most certainly cannot walk away from it.
I sucked in a breath to argue, but she planted a hand on my mouth just as I'd done to her.
I don't care about anything else. I'm not going to worry about what may or may not happen. I've been fighting to deserve you ever since the night you were taken in Central Park. Do you know how much guilt I've carried since that night? How terrible I felt? The debt I endured to pay back?
Her bottom lip wobbled. I crumpled inside for hurting her. I had no idea she suffered the way I had. Her with guilt, me with misplaced hate. If only I'd told her my name from the very beginning. But if I had, who knew if we would be here right now, about to do something stupid and reckless, but so right. I couldn't breathe with the thought of not claiming her. Walking from her office showed me how much I adored her. How utterly real this was. It wasn't a fling. It wasn't short term. It was forever. And if I stood by and acted like a dick, thinking I could keep her safe while abandoning her to the wolves, then I didn't fucking deserve her. It was my job to keep her safe. I thought that meant for myself. But I'd rather keep her safe from other assholes, and screw my fears about not being the man she deserved. She'd leashed me to her the moment she'd appeared in my doorway. Her cute little argument turned me on until I throbbed in my pants for her tirade to end so I could show her just how much I'd never let her go. Today had started off blissful and slid into terrible, but now it was exactly where it should be. Acceptance. This was real. So fucking real.
So you listen here, Pen. I don't care what argument you try. I'm not...
L. I put a finger over her lips, silencing her with my stare. Okay.
Okay.
Her lips brushed over my touch, making me shudder with desire. You win. I leaned forward, my self-control at its end. Capturing her mouth with mine, I kissed her with every yes and apology I could. I'm a fucking idiot. But I'm yours. I'm not going anywhere. It took a second for my vow to travel from her ears to her brain, to her heart. But when it did, she bounced into my arms as if she'd always belonged there.
Truly?
I chuckled. Truly. She peppered my jaw with kisses.
You're an ass. You know that, right?
I know that. That's why I was trying to remove myself from your life.
Well, you tried and failed. Don't you ever try again.
I nodded. Yes, ma'am.
And don't call me ma'am.
What do you want me to call you?
Something dirty while you take off my clothes and have your wicked way with me?
My eyebrows rose. In that case, turn around, Miss Charleston. I suddenly have the overwhelming need to bend you over and stick my cock inside you. She trembled.
I thought you'd never ask.
I swatted her ass, marching her to the bed. Oh, I didn't ask. You've been a naughty girl, going against my wishes and making me keep you. You need to be punished. Her laughter made my entire fucking galaxy blaze bright.
Chapter 46. L.
Marry me.
My eyes flew wide. What? Penn spun me around, shoved his clothes-strewn bag off the bed, and tossed me onto the mattress.
Marry me. Make our fake engagement real.
Wow.
Wow isn't the answer I want.
His voice was a seductive rasp.
Try again. Marry me?
A shiver darted down my spine, loving his authoritative, kinky tone. I knew my answer, but I bit my bottom lip. How long can I think about it? I gasped as he pressed me onto my back, then hoisted up the silver dress and revealed my nakedness. I left him the gift of my underwear this morning, and hadn't replaced them. He groaned.
God, you're going to kill me.
He sank a finger inside me, burying his face into my hair.
Yes or no, Al, put me out of my misery.
Hunger poured off him, infecting me until I squirmed with starvation. He was so much bigger than me, so much stronger, so damn beautiful. Yet with one little word, I had the power to break him into smithereens, just like he'd broken me. I toyed with the idea of saying no, to give him a taste of his own medicine. But he withdrew his touch and rolled onto his side.
You're all I want, Al. I was a jackass.
He kissed me reverently, then contradicted it with sudden aggression.
It fucking destroyed me to go over there, to tell you to leave me, feeling that God-crushing emptiness of having everything I ever wanted, then giving it all away. It hurt so fucking much.
More tears sprang to my eyes at his confession and soul-bearing honesty. He cut me open, leaving me to bleed in his arms.
I want you more than I've ever wanted anyone. More than I ever wanted a dry place to sleep. More than food, even after 2 days of none.
A cocky smirk twisted his lips.
That's the truth. But the only one you truly need to know is I'm crazy in love with you, and you're not leaving my bed until you say yes.
Is that a threat?
Do you want it to be?
My eyes hooded. Maybe.
I don't mind spending decades convincing you.
Undoing his belt and zipper, he pushed his jeans and boxer briefs down to mid-thigh. His erection sprang thick and hard. My legs spread an invitation. Good. Because I think I need some convincing. Pressing over me, his body vibrated with tension. His arousal soaked from his skin to mine as he found my entrance. His lips moved against mine, hot and wet. We devoured each other, turning wilder and more in lust every second. Bites and licks and the incessant urge to join, to mate. His cock throbbed at my core, tormenting me, making me heavy and achy with need.
I'll be miserable without you, Elle. Please don't make me be miserable.
You're making me miserable. I rocked against him, begging him to fill me. My senses were drenched in him, his scent and taste. I needed him to finish what he started before I went completely out of my mind.
You want me?
He angled himself, mounting me in every sense.
You have me.
He plunged inside. Oh, God! My eyes blacked out. The room spun. A groan splashed from both of us. I couldn't stop my hips grinding into him as he thrust inch by savage inch.
Is this enough convincing?
He captured my mouth as his hips flexed into mine, driving me hard against the bed. Not quite. I patted myself on the back for even attempting to speak with him fucking me, drugging me.
More?
I moaned when he sucked on my tongue. His kisses came wrapped in apologies and screw-ups. His nips were loaded with passion and love. He held nothing back, giving me everything he had left to give. But I was greedy. More, definitely more. I sank my fingernails into his ass, pulling him harder, making him fill me deeper. He completed me. I wanted him. I wanted him inside me. I wanted him for all eternity. His breath came out in a shudder as our rhythm picked up, going from teasing to committed. His mouth locked on mine again. One hand in my hair and the other on my chin. His lips taught mine a violent dance. His tongue thrust into my mouth at the same tempo as his cock plunged into my pussy. My teeth sank into his lower lip as I arched into his hold. I was pinned by him, held hostage by sex while he waited for an answer to his unconventional marriage proposal.
You said yes to the fake one.
He growled, thrusting faster.
Say yes to a real one.
I drank air like liquid. I never said yes to the first one. I remember saying no multiple times. He flattened me into the bed.
I didn't let you say no then, and I won't let you say no now.
His passion overflowed. His fist landed in my hair, tugging hard enough to remind me I was completely at his mercy. I slept with him in the utmost trust that he'd never use his strength to hurt me. You can't make me say yes by fucking me, Pen.
I can't.
He surged into me, making the familiar fireworks grab a lighter and hold a flame to their fuses. I glued my lips together, holding back my moan as my body prepared to spindle and shoot into euphoric abandon.
Do you trust me?
He whispered, his tongue tracing my ear. Even swept away, so close to coming, I nodded, grabbing his shoulders with my nails. Unequivocally.
In that case, say yes.
His gaze searched mine, his features turning brittle and sharp with his desire to come.
You put me through hell because I love you so fucking much, and I put you through hell because I come with baggage. But I'm willing to fight together, El. Are you?
His hands found my hair again, holding me in place as he undid me with desperate kisses.
Marry me. God damn it, El.
He thrust into me, switching the spark for annihilation. I threw my head back and screamed as my body waked around his. My pussy fisted his cock and every orgasm bubble popped down my legs. His black chuckle brought me back to earth where he chased me off the cliff. His fingertips brushed across my cheek.
Fuck, I love watching you come.
He drove deeper into me.
It makes me so hard.
Thrust.
I can't fucking control myself.
Plunge.
Christ, El.
His wickedly sexy mouth brushed over mine, feeding me his growl as the splashes of his cum filled me. His eyes snapped closed as his body jerked, holding him while he came down from his high, keeping him safe, threading our lives into one, I murmured. Yes. Yes, I'll marry you, Nameless.
Epilogue. Pen. 6 months of fucking heaven. 6 months of waking up with L in my arms. 6 months of being hissed at by Sage for crowding L on the couch at night after a long day at work. 6 months of working out of an office at Bell-L, running my charity, and trading the penny stocks I'd become so fond of. 6 wonderfully happy months where L's father welcomed me wholeheartedly into the family. Larry finalized the adoption on Stewie, and life settled into a full, joyful world rather than an empty, lonely one. A few months ago, I'd taken L to Fishkill to see Gio. At the start, she'd been cold and standoffish, which I understood, seeing as the last time she'd seen him, he'd been yelling abuse and physically hurting her. But just like Larry always said,
Thieves can become saints. Saints can become thieves. Most of us deserve a second chance.
Gio had changed. We celebrated with him over the phone when Stewie's adoption finally came through, and he no longer carried hate caused by being in Sean's pocket. He'd started a building course in prison, and in 4 years' time, when he was due to be released, he'd be a fully fledged carpenter ready to trade a skill for money. We'd already arranged he'd work for me, building shelters and renovating apartments for those in need. He'd never be homeless again, and had a ready-made family who knew how to forgive and help rather than judge and ridicule. The reporters never fully went away. Arnold Twigg ensured their tattletales and slander were given new details. Larry fought for me in another trial, this one with only judges presiding, not a jury. The evidence had three overseers, not just one. I had the opportunity to stand and reveal everything that I'd endured. I looked Arnold Twigg in the eye and buried him under details, evidence, and the long years I'd served incorrectly. I was no longer a kid afraid of him. He was afraid of me, and despite Arnold's rebuttal and lies, even marching Sean in front of the public as the perfect role model, the newspapers actually did a good turn for once and uncovered Sean's old juvie record for deliberately maiming a local dog. That scrap of juicy detail encouraged more reporters to dig into the not-so-innocent world of Sean Twigg. Slowly, women came forward to issue statements that they'd been touched inappropriately at school and been sworn to secrecy by him. Even a female teacher swore under oath that Sean had raped her on the last day of senior year. She hadn't reported it because she was afraid she'd be the one prosecuted for a teacher sleeping with a student. The day Sean was officially arrested for more crimes than I could ever have done, Arnold Twigg lost his position as chief of police and was detained, just like his son. His bail was set high enough that it would have hurt him in the wallet as well as his livelihood. Despite knowing both would be sentenced for their crimes and would spend years paying for what they'd done to me, vengeance wasn't entirely sweet. It felt as if they got off too easy, that evil had won in some small way. At least I had one small victory. Sean had been sentenced last week. Due to the multiple charges and heinous felonies he'd committed, he earned 20 years with no chance of parole. Hopefully, in another few months, Larry would have a verdict. Arnold Twigg would be sentenced, and my records would be expunged forever. That would be the day Al and I would agree to an interview by the press constantly hounding us for our tale. That day, I would be vindicated, and I'd tell the world everything, finally proud enough and untainted by lies to stand beside Elle, not as a thieving shadow on her empire, but as her equal. I couldn't wait. All our loose ends were tying up neatly. Greg finally went to trial, and Elle testified. However, our happiness meant she struggled to hold on to ill will, especially after seeing how changed Gio was. She hoped the same would happen to Greg. She told the truth in court. The chains and cuffs that David had saved as evidence were revealed. The bank statements purchasing a second car. The diamond engagement ring he'd forced on her. Every shred of premeditation Greg had done. The jury oohed and aahed over her treatment. They glared at Greg and plotted his punishment even before the trial concluded. Elle had full opportunity to push for a harsher sentence when the judge asked her what she wanted to see happen. However, she didn't get nasty. She didn't glower or beg for a harsh sentence. She merely stated the facts and left, leaving the verdict up to the court. It wasn't until a few weeks later, after he was sentenced to 8 years, 2 months, which I thought was exceedingly short, a large donation in Greg's name appeared in my charity's bank account. That night, Elle told me about the deal she'd made with Greg to give him $20 million for my freedom. She'd paid him, as she was loyal to her bargains. But the more she became involved with projects around town and traded Belle Elle's glitzy hallways for canvas tents and soup kitchens, helping those in need, she decided the bribery could be better used elsewhere. Greg had done something unforgivable, and Elle took it into her own hands to make him redeemable. Fearing it would reflect badly on her character, she didn't take it all, but she did transfer $17 million from his name into the charities, leaving him with only three. Only three. It was a lot more than he fucking deserved. The reporters noticed, as all charity donations had to be logged with the record service, and in the end, Elle's final zing at Greg turned out to paint his misdemeanors in a better light.
Who knew? Maybe she set him on a righteous path.
He was interviewed and written about as the most generous criminal in history, not an idiot who was greedy. At least his father, Steve, had peace of mind. His son wasn't all bad. Bell-El avoided more scandal about an attempted rapist who'd worked in their ranks for years, and I fell more in fucking love with the woman who was mine. In a twist of fate, Sharm was put into the same prison population as Greg, and from rumors supplied to us thanks to Geo, Greg had earned his fair share of karma. Unable to get to me, Sean took his frustration out on Greg. A broken arm and a few other prison scuffles occurred. As much as I hated Sean for using me as his scapegoat, I was kind of glad that Greg hadn't gotten off completely scot-free. He suffered some bodily pain for what he'd done to Elle. It was fitting. Our fake engagement turned real engagement was celebrated only by the special people we invited. We kept it small, understated, but the ring I bought her was anything but. The diamond glittered with rubies on either side, perfectly elegant and locked on her finger for eternity. Her sapphire star necklace was fixed from Geo ripping the chain off her neck, and it hung in our walk-in wardrobe like a talisman, reminding us to keep fighting, because sometimes even the bad guys turned out to be the good ones. Without Geo and Sean, I might never have heard Elle scream, and never have ventured into the alley to save the day. She would have walked around New York and returned to her tower, never knowing I existed. The tragedy of that never failed to steal my breath at the thought of growing old without her by my side. Her apartment had become my apartment when we moved in together 2 days after I was freed from jail. With me not living in my building, builders were free to move in, tear out stairs, rip out kitchens, and blitz the entire building in one go, rather than piece by piece. It was finished 2 months before I'd hoped, ready for new, low-income renters who needed a break. Everything we'd endured and survived had finally given us the benefit of the doubt. We'd been tested to see if we deserved the greatest gift of all. And luckily, we'd been found worthy. Elle was my happily ever after, and I was hers. And who knew? Maybe in the future, we'd give her father and Larry what they wanted and deliver a new Bell-El heir or heiress. But for now, she was mine. I was hers, and we were having far too much fun practicing. Speaking of which, Elle padded out of the bathroom with a towel on her head and another wrapped around her stunning body. Sage trotted by her heels as she always did when it was dinner time. I stayed where I was on the couch, flicking through a magazine on investment opportunities in Africa. I waited until Elle gave the gray feline her ration of freshly cooked chicken, then watched as she unwound her long blonde hair and tossed it over her shoulder. Hoisting the towel higher around her breast, she moved back toward the bedroom to continue dressing for the charity gala I was hosting with Larry. I already wore the gold tux that was this evening's color of choice. Elle had yet to dress. Checking my watch, I cracked a smile. I was the host. I shouldn't be late. But I had a fiancé who was too delectable. Tossing the magazine away, I followed her into the bedroom, grabbed her wrist, and spun her around. I yanked at the towel.
Hey!
She swatted me as the fabric tumbled to the floor. Her eyes glittered. Her love that I'd never get used to or tired of seeing shone so damn bright.
If you kiss me, who knows how long we'll be?
I smirked. I plan on doing a lot more than just kissing you, Elle. Biting her ear, I growled, "Get on the bed." With a grin, she obeyed instantly, spreading her legs, acting coy and shy all at once. The perfect woman. My perfect woman. Undoing my belt, I fell to my knees to worship her. We'd get to the charity event. Eventually. In the meantime, we'd be together. Just us. We'd love, we'd argue, we'd protect, we'd evolve. We were a family, and that was all that fucking mattered.
This has been Throne of Truth. The Truth and Lies Duet. Written by Pepper Winters, narrated by Kylie Stewart and Eric Rolon. Copyright 2017 by Pepper Winters. Production copyright 2017 by Pepper Winters.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.